Okay, let's continue now with number 7. And question number 7 asks, what is the reason for Japan's economic strength after World War II? You could also say, what are some reasons for Japan's economic strength after World War II? And so I guess you'll answer first.
The major factors in causing Japanese economic strength after World War II are government-industry cooperation, contributions by victorious nation, and
victorious nations.
Nations, mm-hmm. And a Japanese stronger work ethic. So, or I think all contributed to Japan's post-war economic miracle.
Okay, good. All right, that's fine. Yeah. All right, let's ask him the same question. What are the reasons for Japanese economic growth after World War II?
Oh, people worked very hard. This is the biggest point. In addition to that, in the war, almost all our cities were burned down. So we had to start from the ashes, which enabled much easier to build up new factories and plants, introducing the newest technology from America and European countries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In addition to that, the yen rate was fixed at a very low level against the dollar and other currencies.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which enabled to expand the exports to other countries very rapidly. The third one is the American forces were stationed in Japan, which reduced our military force budget to a great degree. This was also allowed us to spend a lot of money for activating economy instead of military force.
Right. Okay, good. All right, those are fine. Those are good answers. I think you can't say everything. In this answer, the first thing is it's not incorrect at all. It's fine. It's just close government-industry cooperation. That's fine. This is more a written form of expressing that. So with my eyes, I can understand close industry government or government-industry cooperation, but I would say close cooperation between the government and industry. Sure. One reason was the close cooperation between the government and industry.
There was.
Right.
In this case, a close cooperation or just there was close cooperation?
We don't need. There was close cooperation. Right. If you want to put all of these together, then there were close cooperation between the government and industry, a strong work ethic, a weaker yen, something like this. Oh, okay. Do you understand what I'm doing? So you can make one sentence and say, you know, there was close cooperation between the government and industry. Also, there was a strong work ethic, high technology, and a comparatively small national defense budget. Okay. In here, they have mastery of technology. You don't really need, if you don't want to say the extra words, you don't need to. Good. And as another point, I have heard that the Korean War happened at an opportune time. Although war is not good, because the war did happen right after, you know, Japan was starting to build its industry, Japan's industry actually played a good part of supplying things to the Korean War effort.
Yes.
And that was actually a good time. Although war is never good, the timing, when it happened, was good for Japan to build its economy based on the Korean War. And being so close also. Okay, let's go to number question number 8, which is what is ringi? Okay.
Ringi is a written proposal to get approval and decision by senior managers and related persons.
Persons concerned with the proposal.
With the proposal. Okay. This is very common in the government offices and companies when the proposal is not so serious and not so important to hold a meeting. So the ringi is a paper document for getting the approval without meeting.
Okay, good. Right, so you could say here, it's getting approval from persons concerned with the proposal, with persons responsible for the proposal, for people involved with the proposal, however you would like to say that, yeah. But I wouldn't say concerned persons doesn't sound good. Yeah, that with a concerned person doesn't sound, the nuance is different. Concerned person means someone who is worried about something.
Okay. So involved is neutral.
Yeah, I think. So in the people involved.
People involved.
Yeah, with people involved, with people concerned with the proposal. Okay, yeah, the word concerned has different nuances depending on how it's placed, how it's used. Also responsible. Oftentimes, I hear a lot of times, we gave it to the responsible people. Responsible is again misused. Responsible people means not people who are responsible for that, but people who have, the responsibility for that. Or people if you say he's a responsible person, means he's a very good, diligent worker. He's a very serious person. So it's like the opposite of detarame. He's a responsible person, he's not detarame, kind of thing. So it doesn't mean he's concerned with that. It means he's a good worker, very conscientious, very serious. Yeah. So be careful of the word concerned and responsible. Okay.
Okay.
Even though you didn't say that, that's often comes up a lot with this type of dingy situation. People say, we give it to the responsible people. No, you don't give it to responsible. You give it to the people responsible for the proposal. Okay, that's fine. And let's go on. Why don't you practice the same question? What is dingy?
The dingy system is a very common way of arriving at the decisions from the bottom up. In Japanese companies, lower level employees write up a proposal, and this proposal makes its way up the organizational ladder, involving person concerns with the proposal.
Right, involving persons concerned.
People concerned with the proposal.
Yeah, that's fine.
Everyone stamps his seal on a piece of
their seal. Everyone stamps his or her seal.
His or her seal on a piece of paper called ringisho.
Okay. Good. All right, that's fine. Yeah, make its way up the organizational ladder. That's a very good expression. If you're having trouble with that, you could just say, then this proposal makes its way up the organization. Yeah, that's fine. Both are fine. Your pronunciation was fine. Just if you're not used to this expression, you could just say makes its way up the organization, makes its way up the company. Okay, good. I don't see much here to discuss. I think this answer here, what you said, is fine. It's just, so what we'll do is go to question 9. And question 9 asks about which part of Japan is famous for rice farming? And can you answer that?
The Tohoku and Hokuriku regions of Honshu are very famous for rice farming in Japan. And in particular, the Niigata prefecture has greatly achieved success in Koshihikari for the most famous plant, rice varieties.
Okay.
And Hokkaido is also famous for rice farming. And today, farmers plant good tasting varieties like Kirara 397 and Hoshinokome, if I remember right.
Okay. All right, yeah, there's a lot of, we think, a brand name rice. So Koshihikari is one, and Kirara. It has a number, yeah.
Kirara's 397.
397, I think people mostly just say Kirara, right? Okay. And what are some other brand name rices? Okay, I don't know that one. Yeah, I've heard of Akita Komachi. And isn't there another one? Hitomebore? Yeah. Can you tell the difference? Yeah, I'm not one either. You know, I just don't know what to say about this. I'm not an expert and I can't tell the difference. And sometimes I bought the expensive Onuma Koshihikari and then I bought some cheap stuff. And to me, the cheap stuff tasted better. Maybe my tongue is no good. I thought, oh, this isn't very special. And then I buy the just regular stuff. It tastes fine. So anyway, but there are many, brands of rice. So I wouldn't say brand of rice varieties, brand name rice varieties. Okay, good. Where is which part of Japan is most famous for rice farming?
Oh, Niigata, Hokkaido, and Tohoku and Hokuriku district are famous for rice farming.
Okay.
Among them, Niigata is the most famous place for rice farming. The quality is very high. The brand is called Koshihikari. And in Niigata, they produce another type of rice, which is good for sake or Japanese rice wine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Why is Niigata in particular so good for producing rice?
I think the water is good because they are surrounded by the mountains.
Okay.
So in the winter time, they have a lot of snowfall. So in spring, this snow melt away, and this water through the river is very good for farming the rice. And also in summertime, it's very hot, which is good for rice farming.
In the summer, it's hot, right?
Yeah.
But what is special about the summer, though, in like this area, Hokuriku, Tohoku, even Hokkaido? What is special about the summer? My question is too vague, but do you know? Can you tell me more about the summer?
In summer, in Hokuriku, and especially along the Sea of Japan, the temperature goes up very high.
Mm-hmm.
Over 35.
Okay.
Yeah, in this area. So, which is very good for rice farming.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they have good water.
Right, okay.
Through river.
All right. I'm not a rice farmer nor an expert, but I also heard the summer, while it's very hot, is short. So in the Tohoku area, the summer, it actually starts getting cooler by August, the middle of August, end of August. Right after Obon or even during Obon, it can be cool.
Yes.
And I heard that the rice, to be tastier, needs cool weather also. It needs hot in the daytime, but also cool at night and in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So if they have two,
know that.
Yeah, that's what someone told me. I'm not an expert, but that's what I've heard, that if it's too hot all, you know, in the wind in the morning and night also, it's not good for rice. It needs hot, but then after a certain amount of time, just before it's ready to harvest in September, a cool kind of morning and afternoon and evening is good actually.
Okay.
So
now,
that's another thing with the northern area.
I understand that in the
southern
area, such as Kyushu and Chungoku district, they don't have so good rice.
Yeah, that's what I've heard,
that's the idea,
and I think that's why, because it's
wrong.
Cooler.
Yeah.
Right, well that's the same with grapes, you know, when they make wine. Grape areas need to have lots of hot weather in the summer. Daytime needs to be very hot, but the better grapes form when the morning and evenings are cool.
Oh, okay. The difference.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Again, I'm not a wine expert, grape expert, that's what I've heard, is that it needs a cooler temperature night and day.
Night and day.
Between night and day. So once it's hot all the time, the grapes don't build as much sweetness or something. I'm not sure, but I've heard that the same thing for grapes also when they make wine. That's another reason why some of the better wine producing areas have warm summers, but they're also kind of short summers, and they're also cool in the evening and mornings.
Uh-huh.
And that's important for grapes too.
Oh,
so like rice, I can see the same thing.
Okay.
Good. Do Japanese eat rice at every meal?
Pardon?
Do Japanese eat rice at every meal?
At every meal, I don't think so right now. After the Second World War, in Japan, people introduced or get accustomed to the Western style dishes like bread in at breakfast. So I think in younger people prefer bread to rice. So I think only 50% of four meals rice.
Okay.
So not 100%.
Not 100%. Okay, about 50. Depends on the day, depends on the person, right?
Correct.
But not 100% is probably true, right, nowadays. Okay, let me, I'm going to just ask you your same question. You heard his answer, I know you've practiced before, but is rice, you know, do people eat rice at every meal in Japan?
It depends on the person, because after World War II, Japanese food style, or cuisine style,
I don't know if I want to say style, just the best thing I would say is Japanese diet.
Japanese diet is widely diversified, and some person have rice once a day, but others have three times a meal,
three times a day.
Uh-huh. It depends on the person, but I think the rice is still staple food in Japan.
Right, okay. Rice is still the staple food. Okay, good. Another thing besides the Japanese diet, the Japanese eating habits?
Eating habits.
Is also is something you can say. All right, this is fine. Again, I think it's okay to mention about the Western eating habits. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a little bit of... Well, I mean, that's okay, but I have a little bit of difficulty only. It's not just Western eating habits. What else? Japanese eat, well, bread, of course, is Western. But Japanese eat a lot of udon and soba. So it's not just the Western, but they have a variety of what's considered like staple food. So yes, some people eat rice three times a day. Some people don't eat rice. One of the reasons is the influence of Western food, especially rice and also bread and also pasta. But Japanese also enjoy, you know, traditional noodles also, such as soba, udon, and even ramen, which are considered Chinese, but it's kind of ramen is a Japanese-style Chinese noodles. So noodles are also very popular food. Not only Western-style pasta, but also soba, udon, ramen. Okay? But yes, what she says is true. It's still considered the staple diet. Uh-huh, yeah.
When you say pasta, does it mean every noodle? It doesn't mean noodle. It means noodle?
Well, it does. When we say pasta, I think of Italian-style noodles.
Oh, Italian-style noodle. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
not Japanese style.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know. If you say pasta, I would think Italian-style noodle. Uh-huh. If you say noodles, then it includes everything.
Uh-huh.
Same type of long, skinny things made of flour, right?
Okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, all right, I was going to ask you something else about, like, what is a typical Japanese diet nowadays? Because we're talking about rice, and I thought we'd ask about some food questions. I'll ask each of you one more, then we'll go to the next one. So what is a typical Japanese diet nowadays? Or the Japanese eating habits? How have they changed over the years?
Before World War II, Japanese traditional habits, Japanese eating habits are based on the Japanese cuisine. But after the World War II, it gets more diversified. We have a very wide variety of Japanese food style, such as ramen. It's a little bit Chinese style or Chinese style noodles, mm-hmm. but it is Japanized noodles.
Okay.
And anything else? Sushi.
Mm-hmm.
Sushi is vinegared rice with sliced over raw fishes,
mm-hmm.
and soba and udon. They are made of flour and buckwheat.
Mm-hmm. They're noodles, right?
Noodles.
Okay.
And also rice. Rice is also can be diversified. For example, donburi and rice in the bowl. Then topping with the egg, and for example, egg and chicken.
Mm-hmm. Topped with?
Topped with uh-huh. Tempura or.
Right, okay. All right, that's a typical Japanese diet. Plus, some Western foods.
Some Western foods, such as Italian pasta and mm-hmm. hamburgers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like that.
Right. All right, good. Yeah, that's fine. So just include kind of that. Be careful you don't say Western food like hamburger and curry. Because curry is not Western, right? It's Indian-based,
yeah.
Right? So maybe you want to say not just Western, but now there's a lot of Asian food too, right? Especially, you know, Chinese food, of course, but now there's Korean and Thai and, well, Indian food, this type of thing. Okay, good. Let me ask you, do you think the Japanese diet is healthy?
I think it's healthy. Because the calorie is low, very low, compared with Western-style foods.
Mm-hmm.
And the second, we are changing, but still fish instead of meat is main in our dishes.
Okay.
In our food. In
all
our
right, right.
Dishes.
Is a main food.
Main food, yeah. Mm. And nowadays, many people and researchers say that vegetables is very important to our health, to keep our health.
Mm-hmm.
So people are very careful to for the nutrition, how to take nutrition. So the vegetables is becoming the center of the dishes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
in this sense, yeah.
It's, right. Yeah. All right. So yeah, Japanese diet is healthy. So traditional Japanese diet is healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure traditional means to me different things, but it's especially important to say traditional because, you know, some of the Japanese food they have nowadays is not real healthy.
Mm-hmm.
tonkatsu things. It tastes good, but it's not the healthiest food in the world, right? And then also because of just globalization, it's around the world. People eat different foods from different countries. So, and some foods maybe are not as healthy as others, although they taste good. Mm-hmm. So traditional Japanese diet of fish, rice, miso, shiru, pickles is really very healthy.
Yes.
Along with vegetables. Mm-hmm. But nowadays Japanese eat a variety of things, including mm-hmm. Western food and other Asian foods. Mm-hmm. So there's, a tendency to maybe eat things sometimes that are not as healthy as others. Mm-hmm. But the traditional Japanese diet is healthy.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to question 10, which is explain about Japanese agriculture. In this answer, there's a couple things I can give some hints for. In the first line, it says Japanese agriculture is characterized by small-scale intensive cultivation. And I would just say Japanese agriculture is characterized by small-scale farms. Yeah, it's just much easier. Yeah, I'm not sure. The intensive cultivation is kind of hard for everybody to remember.
Small-scale
farms. F-A-R-M-S. And a great variety of food crops. People look at this like a preponderance is the word. Preponderance. It's not a conversational word. It's a literary word used in documents and maybe newspapers, but it's not a word people say when they're speaking. So for the guide test, it's probably not necessary to say that. I would say in a great variety of food crops. It's easier to say it's something you're familiar with. Okay, if you're going to say these answers like this, I would change those words. Tell me then, what about Japanese agriculture?
Okay, Japanese people have developed and polished farming technology for over 2,000 years, resulting in the very high quality of product. But as Japanese land is limited, our agriculture is characterized by small-scale farms. So the price for the product are relatively high compared with other countries. That's all.
Okay. All right. Let me see what she has to say then. What about Japanese agriculture? Can you explain about it to me?
Okay. Japanese agriculture is characterized by small-scale farms and a great variety of food crops. However, actually, agriculture makes up only about 2% of the GNP in Japan.
Japan.
Japan has one of the lowest rates of food self-sufficiency of all industrialized countries. And while almost 100% self-sufficient in rice, Japan import high percentage of other food from abroad.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's fine. No problem at all. Right, so Japanese farms are usually what, small? And so they're also very labor-intensive. Labor-intensive. They have intensive cultivation, but intense, labor-intensive, L-A-B-O-R, and then the other word is intensive, I-N-T-E-N-S-I-V-E. Labor-intensive, if you look at that, I mean, in Japan they cover the apples and the peaches with the bag. Have you ever seen that? And then no other country I've seen covers each peach with the bag, or that's why they're so expensive. I mean, it produces wonderful things to eat, but it's very expensive to do that and very labor intensive. So of course it's going to cost more than just apples. Like in America, it's a huge farm just growing and they just take what's on the tree. They don't care so much, so as much. It's more volume more than quality. And in Japan, maybe quality more than volume, but you pay very heavily because that's why Japanese produce is more expensive. Okay, so that's what I mean by labor intensive, is, you know, cutting each thing and putting a little bag on the apple to prevent it from being eaten by bugs and things, right? Okay, what are some of the dairy products Hokkaido is famous for? Dairy farms.
Dairy.
D-A-I.
Dairy.
Dairy.
Dairy farms. Do you have any other words?
We have in Hokkaido. We have many farms that produce milk and cheese. Oh. And okay.
In Hokkaido, milk. Many products such as milk, cheese, and milk-related products can be found in Hokkaido.
What's my favorite? Ice cream.
Oh, ice cream, and nowadays there are many sweet produced from. Made of milk products.
Yeah, produced from milk products.
Produced from milk products.
Mm-hmm.
Can be enjoyed in Hokkaido.
Right, like pudding and...
Pudding and caramel.
Oh, caramel.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. All right, that's good. Yeah. Good question. What can we say instead of dairy? Because what... I'm always hearing daily farm, which is like Mainichi or Hibi no farm, right? So you want to say dairy, Yuseihin, right? Which is difficult in English because you have L and R. Dairy with a very R sound is correct. D-A-I-R-Y. But for some reason, I don't know why, when you need to say dairy with an R, people say daily. Sometimes when you need to say L, you say R. But this is one word I hear most people saying daily with a L sound.
Daily.
So it's dairy.
Daily.
Dairy.
Dairy.
Yeah, it's difficult because there's the word dairy and daily. You know, so daily farming means every day, farming every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that you can say that. So everyday farming, daily farming in Hokkaido is done from morning to noon, morning to evening, right? So that's why you have to be particularly careful, because we can say daily farming. You know, daily farming in Hokkaido is necessary to grow many foods. You know, dairy farming produces milk and cheese and things like this. So again, be careful. You can say, as you said, milk products. So my question was, what kind of dairy products in Hokkaido are, you know, what kinds of dairy products are there in Hokkaido? Oh, there are many kinds of products made from milk. There are many milk-based products, such as milk itself, cheese, ice cream. You know, then many sweets also, such as puddings and caramel and things. Okay, so try to avoid words that are hard to say if you're having trouble, because a guide test is not just to use the correct word, but it's to use words that you can pronounce correctly. Okay, good. All right, let's go to him, and I will ask you, where is a nice place to visit in Hokkaido?
In Hokkaido? There are many places to visit in Hokkaido. If you don't have so much time to spend, I think I recommend you to visit Sapporo. Sapporo is a big city,
mm-hmm.
but compared with, it's different from Tokyo or Nagoya.
Mm-hmm.
It's surrounded by mountains, small mountains. So the landscape is good from the city.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they have botany, very famous botanical garden.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a lot of northern part trees.
Mm-hmm. Northern area trees.
Northern area trees and mm-hmm. grasses. And,
okay.
And also you have many variety of foods
mm-hmm.
like jingisukan or crab eating and other things. And if you have more time, you can go from Sapporo to other areas such as Shikotsu Lake or Jozanke, which is a hot spring
okay.
place, and also Asahikawa, in which you can visit Ainu. It's a minority race
mm-hmm.
in Japan.
Okay.
The village of Ainu. So, Sapporo is a good place to visit.
Okay, to start with first. Good. Okay. Yeah, and Otaru is not very far, isn't it? 40
one
minutes,
hour,
maybe?
Only one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good. Question 11, I think I asked you this last week. What kind of fish can you catch around the seas of Japan?
Yes. We can catch many fishes, many kinds of fish.
Many kinds of fish.
Many kinds of fish, such as salmon, bonito, sardine, souri, sea bream, flatfish, such and such. So in spring, sardine and sea bream are in season to eat. And in August, in autumn, souri and horse mackerel are in season to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot. A lot of fishes in Japan.
Okay, good. Let me ask her. What kinds of fish can you catch in the seas around Japan?
Japan is surrounded by the sea and runs almost 3,000 kilometers northeast to southwest. So these locations produces a wide variety of fishes in different regions. For example, tuna, salmon, sardine, seaver, sea bream, and yellowtail. So you may be surprised by the wide variations, and there may be some fishes that you've never heard or eaten outside of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Many different kinds of fishes can be enjoyed throughout the year.
Okay, good. I don't know why, but for some reason I said many kinds of fish.
Fish,
yeah, rather than fishes. I don't know if it's 100% incorrect or 100% correct. Probably most people would say many kinds of fish.
Many kinds of fish.
Yeah.
Is it general, for example, many kinds of cars?
Yeah.
Many kinds of cars.
What about the wide variety of
cod?
Car.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. Fish itself is not, it's generally not plural.
Okay.
It's like some animals like deer is not plural.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the fish, there are many kinds of sardine. There are many kinds of sardines. I mean, I don't know. To be honest, it's embarrassing if I don't know 100% correct or incorrect. Speaking from just a standard point of communication with people, with my friends, I would say there are many kinds of fish. I wouldn't say there are many kinds of fishes.
And also you say some fish, any fish, no fish.
Right. Yeah. Fish is just something that in English is not plural, as is some of the other seafood. Like shrimps, we don't say. Now, English is crazy. So squid, we don't say squids. But crabs, we say crabs. We say clams. So it just, English you have to just memorize. I don't know the reason why shrimp is not plural, but crabs are. I don't know why.
Crabs.
Yeah. But some people don't pluralize it also. There are many kinds of crab.
Can I say many kinds of radio?
radios.
Cars,
yes, that's fine. Yes, because things that are plural, sometimes you can say many kinds of cars, cars. Actually, that sounds better. Words that are plural, you would say many kinds of cars. There are many kinds of cars in Japan. There are many brands of cars in Japan. So plural words you make plural, non-plural you don't make plural usually. All right? Good. What is, you're talking about fish. What is sashimi?
Sashimi is a thinly sliced of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be enjoyed with soy sauce, dipping soy sauce before eaten.
Mm-hmm. And before being eaten.
Before being eaten. Mm-hmm. It go well with rice and sake.
Goes well. Start again. What is sashimi?
Is thinly slices of raw fish.
Okay, start there. Two ways. Sashimi is thin slices of raw fish.
Thin slices of raw fish.
Okay, or sashimi is thinly sliced raw fish.
Okay.
That's it, right? I like sashimi as thin slices of raw fish.
Sashimi is thin slices of raw fish. They are eaten dipping with soy sauce before being eaten.
Oh, they are dipped in soy sauce.
They are dipped in soy sauce before being eaten. Sashimi can be enjoyed with rice and sake.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of sashimi are popular?
The popular fish, sashimi fish, are yellowtail, squid, and tuna.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very big favorite among Japanese.
Good. Okay, good. Let me ask him. Besides sashimi, how do Japanese eat and cook fish? What are some ways to prepare fish for eating?
Okay, there are many kind of cooking styles. For example, you can broil the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you can dry the fish for a long time, mm-hmm. and then you can eat it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also, you can broil with water, seasoned water.
Broil or boil?
Boil.
Okay.
Oh yeah, boil. You can boil it. I think that's all.
Okay, all right. Yeah, most people end there. What I would just add one more. One way people enjoy is deep frying.
Oh, deep fried, yeah.
Yeah, yes. So yes. Fish is also deep fried, like in tempura or in fish fry or something.
Deep fry, yes, yeah. Tempura.
Okay.
I forgot that.
Yeah, a lot of people forget that. When you think of the broiling, the boiling, and...
Boil and broil, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, boil, broil, simmered.
Simmer, yeah.
Yeah, and then also deep fried. Yeah, okay, good. Question number 12, we'll finish at least the questions today. This is maybe more difficult, but let's see what your answer is. These days, the Japanese economy is very bad. What do you think Japan should do to respond to it?
Okay. Japan has a lot of things to do to activate our economy. I think we have a very strong fields in technology, such as robotics, space technology, and ecology technology. These three are top runner. We are top runners in these areas in the world.
Okay.
So by investing a huge amount of money into these areas, Japanese government can stimulate and grow the industries for these areas. And we can get a lot of money by exporting our technology or products to the, yeah, that's all.
Okay, all right, good, good. Let me add the same question. What can Japan do to cope with the bad economy?
Personally, I expect the new government and
ahead. The government that won the election?
Won the election. I expect the new government won the election last year to take, I hope they take proper actions and to cope with the long recession. Mm-hmm. And the government should, I think, they should eliminate wasteful expenditures.
Okay.
Use tax revenues to help people more better life, build better lives. Mm-hmm. And in order to create job opportunities, corporate taxes, small and medium-sized enterprises mm-hmm. Should be reduced mm-hmm. and to increase the opportunity for hiring.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Just a point. I hope there's two things. Okay. I hope they take what action to da 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 da. Or I want them to take action. But we don't say I hope them is not good grammar. Okay, so I hope
they take actions to cope with their long recessions.
Good. All right. I think that's fine. And then I hope the new government that was elected last year. I hope the new government that was elected last year. Which was elected last year? This is the Democratic Party of Japan. Right. Good. Okay, good. Just back to him. I wanted to ask you, you said something about Japan has a very strong something technology. What did you say? What was the word you said? I didn't catch that. I want to make sure.
Robotics?
Oh, okay. Is that what you said? Japan has very strong robotics technology?
Robotics technology, space technology, and ecology technology. Is it strange?
Well, let me say robotics. What did you say? Space?
Space.
It's robotics, space, and...
Ecology.
Ecology. It's probably okay, yeah. Maybe... I would change it. Japan has very strong technology
in
robotics, space, and ecology.
Oh, okay. Strong technology in.
Mm. The reason is because you're saying robotics technology, it's okay. Space technology is okay. Ecology technology sounds funny.
Yeah. I hear that.
Yeah, and all of them are nouns. Turning them into adjectives, and ecology doesn't turn into a good adjective. So you could say ecological technology works. Because ecological is the adjective.
Okay.
Where space doesn't have an adjective. And robotics does not have robotical technology, but it sounds funny. So you could say ecological technology, or Japan has strong technology in robotics, space, and ecology.
Okay.
Okay, good. I think we've finished for today. We've answered all the questions. I hope this was helpful. We did talk a lot about other things maybe related to the questions to give you some background information. Again, next week is more about work and, you know, just work customs and things like that. So maybe it's a little bit easier. And anyway, we'll see you next week. And thank you for coming.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
See you next
Bye-bye.
Week.